things.
We'll take a break from production or from field to market presentation so I can bore you with some statistics. Today I'll be presenting some results from a meta-analysis on the impact of irrigation technology on cotton yield and water use efficiency. My co-authors on this are Amanda Cano and Chuck West at Texas Tech University and Darren Rudnick at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So a meta-analysis is a quantitative method for systematically combining data from selected studies to derive higher statistical power and more robust point estimates. And it's a big data concept that originated in the medical field, combining the results of various drug trials. It has applicability in economics. Most of what I've seen has been in non-market valuation literature. And although my presentation today isn't exactly economically related, I hope that as I continue to do this analysis, I can add some profitability measures in the future. So the objective of this analysis is to determine the impact of irrigation systems and various management practices on water use efficiency and crop yield. And this is part of a funded project by USDA NIFA. And so in this project, we're looking at the entire Ogallala Aquifer region. But today, I'm just going to be presenting results for cotton, which are primarily in the southern high plains of Texas. So the first step in performing a meta-analysis is to collect relevant studies. And I performed a web search using Google Scholar in February and March of 2017 and on Web of Science in July of 2017, so searching for articles related to water use efficiency and crop yield. The key words that I used to perform these searches were a combination of Ogallala, High Plains Aquifer, irrigation, water use efficiency, yield, the major crops within the production region, so cotton, corn, sorghum, wheat, and soybeans were the major focus, and also based on irrigation systems. So we have center pivot, subsurface drip, furrow, variable rate irrigation. We also did a search on precision mobile drip irrigation as well. I also searched for the states in which we were interested in, so Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska. Currently, the size of my database contains 45 articles with over 1,000 different observations. The state distribution of those articles, we have 27 in Texas, 10 articles in Nebraska, 7 in Kansas, and 1 we found in Oklahoma. The crop distribution, we have 16 in corn, 9 articles focusing on cotton. We have 16 articles dealing with sorghum, 3 soybeans, and 7 wheat articles. So once we've collected these relevant studies, the information in those publications and the manuscripts are put into an Excel spreadsheet. So the types of data that we're collecting are related to the experimental design and the overall results of the project. So the things like planting and harvesting dates, what was the crop variety, was there a rotation involved, what's the row spacing, what soil types are we talking about, what type of fertilizer was applied, when was it applied, what was the in-season rainfall, and what tillage practices were used. So it's very specific and large amounts of data that we're collecting and putting into these Excel spreadsheets, so it's very time-consuming. Effect sizes are used in meta-analysis to represent the strength between a treatment and a control variable. There's lots of different things that you can use for effect sizes. It could be anything from odds ratios to regression coefficients or elasticities. In this case, I'm using a Hedges G method of calculating effect sizes, which is based on a mean difference between a treatment and control, and it's divided by the standard, a pulled standard deviation. The Hedges D can be interpreted as, for small effects, would be a value of about a 0.2. A medium-sized effect between a treatment and control would be about a 0.5. And a large effect is going to be anything above a 0.8. So these are the studies that I included in the meta-analysis for the Southern High Plains. I had 9 studies overall in our database related to cotton, but I could only use 5 of them due to some missing data. Although we have 5 studies, there are 67 observations associated with this entire group. So the publication dates range from 2004 to 2015. They're all cotton-based projects. And the irrigation types are all center pivot, LIPA, LISA, MISA, and then we have SDI. So these are meta-analysis results for yield. They're broken out between study, the number of observations in each study and irrigation system. And then we have the Hedges G effect size, which is comparing. In this analysis, I used irrigation application as my treatments, and then I had a dry land control. So this is going to be the relationship between irrigation compared to dry land. So, and then we have the standard errors reported, as well as the lower and upper confidence intervals. And then we have the statistic, the p-values there as well for significance. So the Hedges G values, most of them are large and positive, although there are some, the Bordofsky studies have with LIPA has a small negative Hedges G effect size, and then the O'Shaughnessy and Adia story studies were also negative. So we wouldn't really expect to see that kind of result when we're talking about the impact of irrigation. So there's something going on in those studies that's not related to water use and yield. It could be a climatological issue or something to throw those results off. But for the most part, we're getting really large increases in irrigation systems. And it looks like the biggest impact is from subsurface drip and LISA. The p-values are, most of them are statistically significant, so that's interesting. These are the yield results that are broken out into a subgroup analysis, so looking at just the irrigation systems. You can see that LIPA has 39 observations, LISA has 8. We only have 4 observations for MISA irrigation, and there's 16 drip observations for a total of 67. The Hedges G effects are reported here, as well as the confidence intervals and p-values. So this is broken out into fixed and random effects. The fixed effects analysis looks at variation within the study, and the random effects analysis looks at that within-study variation, as well as variability between studies. So the random effects model is more appropriate for these types of analyses that I'm performing, so I'll just focus on that. The LIPA irrigation system has a negative and very small Hedges G. So again, there's something in that Bordofsky study that it's not relating to. But otherwise, the rest of the irrigation systems have very large and positive effects. The only one that's statistically significant is the MISA irrigation system, and it seems to be performing as well as LISA in this case. This is a forest plot. That illustrates the effect size, which is the middle dot, and then the confidence intervals, the lower and upper confidence intervals. And you can see there's a lot of variation in those confidence intervals, especially with subsurface drip. So there's not a lot of precision here. And then you have the overall summary effect in the bottom, which shows a positive value. So this is a test for heterogeneity. We have random sampling error, which we don't really care about. But we want to know if there are true differences between study to study. And so the Q statistic is a way to assess heterogeneity within the papers. And then so we have the degrees of freedom and then the p-value associated with that. So the MISA system has a Q value of 0 with 0 degrees of freedom. That's because there's only one study that's using a MISA irrigation system, and so there's no way to assess heterogeneity with only one publication. So that's kind of a moot analysis right there, but if we look at the other studies, the LIPA and SDI irrigation systems are statistically significant. So that's telling us that it is unlikely that there are different that we're just experiencing random sampling error. There's something more going on here related to that between study variation. So and then we have this I-squared statistic, which tells us of this dispersion that we're seeing, what proportion of that dispersion is related to real sampling error. And so we've got 85%, 28%, and 93% of this is due to real differences between the studies. So that will change how I do the analysis moving forward. So I'll have to use a meta-regression in order to compare, in order to figure out what's causing that heterogeneity. So these are results looking at water use efficiency based on the study and irrigation system. So these results are a little bit different compared to yield. We're seeing very large impacts from the Hedges G effect size. And then we've got the upper and lower confidence intervals and p-values. Looks like most of these are statistically significant with the exception of the MESA irrigation system and that O'Shaughnessy study, and the effect sizes on both of those are also kind of small. So this is broken out in the subgroup analysis looking at the irrigation systems. Again, I'm just going to focus on the random effects model because that's typically what we care about. The effect sizes here for subsurface drip are very, very large compared to the others, so that shows that there's a larger effect from that type of irrigation than the others. When you look at the confidence intervals here and the p-value, the MESA irrigation system is the only one that's not statistically significant. And this is a forest plot looking at the confidence intervals for the random effects for water use efficiency. And so you can see that compared to the yield observations, there's a lot more precision here within the confidence intervals, which we would like to see. So this is the test of heterogeneity. These results are a little bit different than yield. Again, MESA is not going to be relevant here because we only have one study that's looking at heterogeneity, or one study that focuses on the MESA. So we can't assess heterogeneity in this instance. But the only one that could be statistically significant is the LIPA system, and it looks like 65% of the dispersion in that study would be due to true differences in the analysis. So to conclude, this is the first step in performing a meta-analysis. This is my first tried attempt. And so I think that moving forward to address some of these issues of heterogeneity, I'll have to use a meta-regression using moderator variables to help explain that heterogeneity in the data, but I'm not entirely sure that the Hedges G effect size is the most appropriate way to analyze the data. There's also, we have a very large data set, so there's a lot of subgroup analysis that I can do with regards to the various crops, the regions, and specific management techniques. So I've, with a lot more data mining, I think I can come up with some more interesting results, but they're just not there yet. I have to give a plug here. I have to acknowledge USDA NIFA for funding this project. And it's a sustaining agriculture through adaptive management to preserve the Ogallala Aquifer under a changing climate. And our website for our Ogallala CAP grant is below at ogallalawater.org. So I encourage you all to check that out. And that's all I have for you today. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, or if you have suggestions, definitely welcome those as well. Thank you.
Any questions? Donna, I have one.
Okay.
No, just out of curiosity. Yeah. So in a meta-analysis of this type, if you looked at other subject matters, mm-hmm. would you say this is a big or a small sample? I mean, do you normally get a lot of studies?
I think it just depends. I was expecting when I started this to have a large sample. When you look at the number of studies that are published on water use efficiency and yield, there's a lot out there. But the way that these analyses are performed, you have to be very specific in your inclusion criteria. And so we wanted to look at transition to dry land as part of this CAP project, and so it was important for us to have a dry land component. And there's not a lot of studies out there that have dry land values. And so that really cut down on the number of studies that we could include in this analysis. So that was kind of surprising, but, you know, even though we have 45 studies, we still have 1,000 observations, which is fairly large, I think. Just not what we were expecting.
Okay.